Hello and welcome to this exciting episode of You May or May Not Like It. Hi. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XorsenX. I'm here with Mike. You can find on Twitter at Review and Roast. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. And you can find us anywhere. /reviewandroast. Hashtag Review and Roast. You'll
at
see
review
it.
Review and Roast.
At Review and Roast. Tilde at Review and Roast. What? Never mind. So, today we're going to talk about Stranger Things Season 2. I finished it about a week and a half ago. He finished it 2 days ago. So do Eleven and the group do any awesome stuff like they did the first season? I don't know. Let's find out. If you remember, the end of season one.
What about it?
So yeah, if you remember the end of season one, Will is back, and you know, they're sitting down to dinner, and it's, you know, a little bit of time has passed, and he's like, "Oh, I gotta go wash my hands," you know, really whatever, kind of weird, and then he gets up, goes to the bathroom, and coughs up a little otherworldly. Upside downy slug of sorts, and it goes down the drain, and that's how they set up season two. Because I actually found this out when I was, I don't know if it was when I was watching like the Beyond Stranger Things, or maybe I read an article. I don't know. I did something, but apparently these guys pitched this show to like 40 different networks before and got turned down before Netflix was like, yeah, sure, let's do it.
Really?
So when they first signed on, they didn't sign on for more than one season.
Yeah.
But halfway through the filming and all the hype, like, they were like, you know what? We're going to want a season two at least. I think they wanted at least four seasons. But, you know, so it the first season wasn't exactly written to have another season to follow. Mm-hmm. So that might have been why the end was
I think I heard that they were already, and maybe this was on the Beyond Stranger Things part, because I did watch a little bit of that. I didn't watch as much as I wanted to. But yeah. I did watch a little, and they did say that they started, you're right, that they didn't plan on it, but they already started two before they even knew that one was, or they started two before one was released. Yeah. Basically, Netflix gave them the go-ahead in hopes that that would take the pressure off, I guess, of the whole, you know, hey, we don't really know if anyone's going to like this. But fuck them, we got season two.
Right.
So they were able to, like, go for it or whatever. So they had already casted, like, season two before season one was done. So there was already a couple of new add-ons that were probably already anticipated, which was good.
Well, yeah, because from, you know, again, it might have been that Beyond Stranger Things.
I know, I want to watch more of it because it was actually better than I thought it was going to be. You know, they do this stupid shit with The Walking Dead and all that. And I was like, ugh.
Well, that's with nobody from the show. This was an interview of the cast and crew. So
yeah, the only thing I didn't like about it was the dude hosting it.
I don't remember that much about him.
Yeah, he's kind of a...
But I do remember that the original plan was at the end of season one, Eleven was supposed to be dead. She was not supposed to live through season one. That's why I think it was a little awkward at the end of season one when, you know, he gets up and he's spitting up the slugs, and then Jim Hopper, the chief, is leaving Eggos in the woods. Like,
yeah,
all right. So you threw that together. Not that it was bad. I mean, it made sense. It was fluid.
Mm-hmm.
But
it really made sense in season two for sure. Actually, and to be honest, that dude's like my favorite character.
He rules.
Yeah.
By the way, we're talking about Jim Hopper, who's played by David Harbour. He's the chief.
He's in some stuff and things.
He's technically Will's dad, right? Correct?
Will? No.
Isn't he?
Isn't he?
Wasn't he...
No, they have a dad. From season one, remember the dad's a dick?
Yeah, you're right.
Yada yada.
You're right.
He's basically like the makeshift, let's call it, best friend of Joyce in season one.
Yeah.
The dude. You know what I mean?
Yup.
But they don't have a thing. So, which brings us to season two, where she has a boyfriend, but whatever.
Yes, she does.
We're going to get that. We're gonna get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. So, season one ends, and then season two, it's, you know, it's a year has, roughly a year has passed, you know, and things are kind of back to normal. Except, you know, the closer it becomes to the 1 year anniversary, Will starts having more and more of these extremely vivid dreams, or where his friends and everyone else, it almost looks like he's spacing out, but he is quote unquote in the under
the upside down
in the upside down.
Yep.
Witnessing this gigantic, almost shadow overlord spider creature that
right.
He doesn't know exactly what it wants, but he kind of senses that it just wants to destroy everything.
And that basically that it was what was fueling the first season, even though we didn't see it.
Right.
I guess is kind of what they're building this season up is first season, we were just getting into some shit.
Yes.
So now what they do as well is whenever he has, or maybe not whenever, but it was the first or second, probably the first episode, he has the episode, let's call it, and Joyce, Winona, and Hopper take him to the doctor. So at the facility that was, for all intents and purposes, shut down or whatever at the end of last season where all this shit took place, you have a new doctor running the joint. It's Paul Reiser.
Which he's is actually awesome.
Pretty superb. He's yeah. actually, you know, I'm not going to lie, you think he's a bad guy. So he's actually pretty awesome. And what they're doing is they're kind of mentally... It's super weird, and they explain it later in the series that, like, everyone's just going about their business, and this place is still running. They still got some upside down going on in here, and nobody seems to give two shits. They explain that later, but in the beginning, you're like, man, didn't all this happen? Why isn't the kid, like, in a straitjacket? But they kind of explain that later on with the legality and Hopper's making sure and you're making sure we all got our role to play in this little town to keep it looking small towny.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which I actually was throwing me in the beginning. And then once they sort of like, hey, you remember we got the deal. And I'm like, oh, they got the deal.
Right.
Now yeah. I get it.
You know what I mean? It was, it's not so much that they're still heavily experimenting, but the, whatever rift that they opened in season one, they're now having a hard time containing.
Yeah, it's still there.
So it not only is it still there, but it's overflowing yeah. at a rate that they almost can't keep up. And, you know, they don't really think too much of it because it doesn't seem to be doing much harm. But then, you know, you get some farmers' crops start dying. And
yeah, the pumpkin patches
start tying all this stuff together. Bad. You know, Will starts freaking out more and more. And
which one?
Dustin.
Oh,
he's coming home one night from being out with his friends. He hears rustling in the garbage can.
Yeah, that's got to be like the third episode. It was fairly early on.
Yeah, and he finds a...
Oh, it was the very end of the one into the beginning of like the fourth or fifth episode. That's yeah. what it was. Yep.
And he finds a little slug from the upside down. Him trying to be the optimistic, like, oh, I've discovered a new species. Oh, yeah. Yay.
Yeah, which was surprisingly nobody was like, this thing's probably from that place.
Well,
not at first,
once
at
they
least.
Saw it.
Well, once it like started yeah. to get fat and eating nougat.
Yeah.
Which was dope.
And the cat.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. And so we'll just fast forward. Just
yeah, I was going to say, here. I feel like we're just rambling.
So this slug turns out to be what was referred to in the first season as the Demigorgon. The one bad guy from season one turns out to be, in this episode, this season, we have, you know, 100 of them now. So, but they're all babies. So this is like a baby one. And if you don't remember, it's that dude, you know, in season one whose face opens up. This time they just don't get to that full grown standing on two legs.
Yeah, they're just dogs.
They
call them demi dogs.
Yeah. So yeah, Dusty was calling them the demi dogs, and he thought he was like hot shit for thinking of that, but which was actually pretty good. So yeah, and all the while. We didn't get to the part where Elle is alive and Hopper has, for all intents and purposes, adopted her. She's living in the cabin.
He has like a hunting cabin.
Yeah, and he got the rules. You don't go outside. You don't open a window. You don't do shit. Blah, blah, blah. They kind of explain it and they go through their relationship in flashback form. She's basically had enough because it's been a year. And every time she asks him a question, he says sooner or later or whatever. And she's about had it. So... Her and Hopper are arguing. Hopper's getting into some shit with the village. You know what I mean? Small town action's happening. You know, crops are dying. He goes to the doctor. What the fuck? Doctor's like, hey, fuck you.
It's not us. And then...
And that's when you find out Hopper's like, hey, dickhead.
Right.
I tell everyone to look the other way. You keep that shit out of the town.
Right.
So all I'm saying is take this busted ass pumpkin because this ain't regular.
Right.
You know, so they go out, they test it, and they find some shit. And it's actually pretty interesting because basically they've been firing it off inside the building, you know, in the basement of the building where the gateway was to the upside down, yada, yada. It was overgrowing out of that gateway. So they've been burning it away on a daily basis, just keeping the status quo. Well, what they don't know is it's actually said, yeah, keep burning those tendrils because we've been digging.
Yeah.
So it's been digging and spider webbing or vining its way out is the way they end up putting it in this one.
Created a whole tunnel system underneath the town.
Yeah. And it's a tunnel basically of upside down.
Yeah. Now here is
the part you hated. Go ahead.
No, not the part I hated. Well, it's kind of like, you know, okay, in the first season, when Will is in the upside down, he communicates with his mother through the lights in the living room that she hangs up with the alphabet. So this season's version of that is basically Will, in one of his dreams, he stops running based on.
Oh yeah. So yeah. On, oh, yeah. Hold on. Pause. All right. So we're going to get right back to the same thing as the last thing from the other one. Because the whole light system, the whole communication system, we're going to get back to the communication system because you're about to bring up Sean Astin.
I am.
Who is actually a personal unfavorite actor of mine. Let's just start it there. So go ahead.
Right. So Sean Astin plays Bob Newby, who's just he's just a nerd.
Dude, his name rules.
Right, Newby?
Super Bob.
He's just a nerd. He works at Radio Shack, but he's dating Will's mother, you know. And,
and remember, back in the 80s, Radio Shack was the shit.
Yeah.
I mean, not a thing. It was the shit. Right. Like, yeah. Radio Shack, like, that's where you got, like, your coax. And you're like, whoa, coax. Like, for real.
No, you're a dork.
It was a thing.
So, yeah. He is, he's driving Will to school one day, and he tells him about, when I was about your age, I had a recurring dream. And, you know, one day when I just stopped in my dream and I told my whatever was chasing me to stop
it. That guy,
leave me alone.
His name's Mr. Blinko or Bilko.
Oh, it was something terrible. Yeah. I'll let you guys figure that out on your own. Mm-hmm. So while they're they're all at the arcade and they realize that their high scores have been beaten by Mad Max, who was another new character we will get to.
Oh yeah.
Will steps outside into the upside down, has another freak out, and decides not to run. He turns around and says, hey, leave me alone. And that's when this thing supposedly takes him over.
Yeah, basically the shadow monster, yeah, I mean, literally starts going through his nose holes.
Yeah, right. So back to in season one where you have him communicating with the lights, in season two, he can't explain to anybody what's going on or how he feels or what he's seeing. So he takes about 40,000 sheets of paper and starts drawing what looks like
scribbles.
Yeah, looks like a mess. But they start piecing it all together, and it's the entire tunnel system that has been forming under the town. They put it all up on the walls, and they go, oh, this is fucking so-and-so lake, and this is,
And that's how Bob actually gets involved in the actual truth behind what's been going on, because up until now, Bob don't know. Bob's Sean Astin. He's just giving the kid advice based on, like, the kid's just scared of the dark. He doesn't know that the kid was in a alternate dimension being chased by demigorgons.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, on the verge of death and missing, you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
he thought the kid was lost in the woods for a week.
They let these people live, but they also told him, you can't say anything.
Right. So Bob had no idea what's really behind this. So the kid's like dorking out. He's like, oh, this kid's special. You know what I mean? He's trying to be cool because he's trying to, you know, beat them cheeks. So.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
Anywho. So, you know, that was their version of.
So let's get back to real quick. Sean Astin, though. I don't like him as an actor. But I swear to God, he changed my mind during the season of this show.
He was awesome.
Because he was super good and the right choice. And after watching the Beyond Stranger Things episode that I watched or two, they actually said that he turned, because what they did for this, they didn't like really have like auditions. They just took like tapes.
Yeah.
So all the actors like made tapes. Well, he was like one of, like he just made a tape at his house like sent it to these dudes. And they're like, man, is that fucking Sean Astin? You know what I mean? And
is that fucking Samwise?
Yeah, yeah. That's actually what. Yeah, that's what he said. He said, which actually is the reason I don't like him, to be honest. That Rudy, his two like biggest roles of all time. Ugh. Anywho, Bob Newby though, that's a character you can build on.
Yeah, I mean this. I mean, you figure season one's basic, you know, not whatever heavy hitter actor wise was Winona Ryder all day long. Mm-hmm. Now you've got Winona Ryder.
What was the what was the doctor's Astin. Name in the first one? He was he's a somebody.
Is he?
Yeah. Martin.
Martin Brenner. Matthew Modine.
Matthew Modine. Martin. Yeah, Matthew Modine's.
Well, in the show, his name is Martin Brenner.
Okay.
You know, you got Paul Reiser. I mean, you just got a lot of
a lot of
beef in this.
A little bit more. A little more.
Meat so, and anywho, I don't want to drag on all hours of the day about this stupid podcast, but. Well, I want to get to the two other main characters that could come into it. This one, which is you know, they find out that the high scores are being beaten by somebody named Mad Max, who turns out to be Maxine.
Whatever, what's her face?
I don't know why I can't see it right now.
It's somewhere.
Literally just right here.
It's Max.
Yeah, Max Mayfield.
There you go.
And her stepbrother is Billy Hargrove. Now, when they first introduced Billy, I was kind of super excited. I'm like, dude, this guy is going to like... Because last season, what was his name? Steve?
Yeah.
He kind of like saved the day, you know?
At the end.
And
yeah, Steve was the dick from the first season who turned out to like help out Nancy at the end.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, even though Jonathan was trying to get in her pants. And then Steve and turned Nancy out to be cool.
Are still together at the in the beginning of season two. And his new rival at school turns out to be this Billy guy. And, you know, he's like your metal. He's like your stoner. You know, he drives like the
team. Yeah, I don't know if he's metal. He's more like, yeah, it's more like Bon Jovi. But, yeah that was metal in the 80s.
He's got the mustache, the little porno stash. Yeah. He's, you know, smokes and he talks shit and beats everybody up.
They make a specific point to show his tight jeans more than once.
Yeah, yeah.
They actually do.
I'm going to get to my issue with him right now. He's a real dick in the show. And then you see his home life and you understand why he's such a dick. At the end, you figure he's going to like join the team and be this guy and he's going to help save the day. That never fucking happened. He just ended up being a dick and that was it. They never brought him around to be part of the group, which I was like, oh.
I was kind of okay with it, actually.
I was expecting it. I mean, so I guess in that aspect, you know. Hey, you don't always get what you're expecting.
Yeah.
Which,
I mean, because Steve's still in it. His role has changed dramatically. He ends up.
He still beats that ass.
Yeah, he ends up befriending the Childrens, though, in a different way because they need help. And he's not doing it for ulterior motives like he was in the first season. Now he's doing it because these kids need help.
It is, but also because I think of the whatever bond they formed.
Mm-hmm.
During the last season, I think he would pretty much bend over backwards because they've all been through something that we can't fucking talk about this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but geez, I mean, there's so much to do and talk about. I don't want to talk about.
I mean, literally didn't even talk about 11.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's holed up in this cabin for 80% of the season. You know, you didn't even see her until like the
really only episode. Like 50% because once she goes on her own little adventures out of town.
She does. Oh, my goodness. I forgot about
that. Kind of a big deal.
Yeah, so.
It's like three episodes.
Yeah, why don't you take it? I feel like I'm rambling.
I don't need to take it.
All right, I'll take it.
You take it.
So, basically.
She's got a sister.
Oh, my God. Not really. So, what it is, like he said earlier, you know, she's keeps asking her.
Well, hold on. Premise. In one of the episodes, before they even show anything, they cut to, like, Chicago.
Oh, and that's the very opening of the season.
Is it the whole season?
Yes.
All right. So, yeah. So, there's this small band of masked criminals robbing a bank. They're making their getaway. They're getting chased by a few squad cars. And as they're getting away, the girl in the co-pilot seat is turn left, turn right. All right. Up there, make a right, go under the tunnel. And as they go under the tunnel, she appears to destroy the tunnel bridge. As they pass and the police are coming, the police slam on the brakes, they all smash into each other, and you cut back to the cops. The bridge never collapsed. The cop just thought it did. Then they cut to her, She got the little nosebleed, and then she's got a number on her arm, 008.
Correct.
Which is the same as 11's 011.
Right.
So, all right, your turn.
Right.
So, I forgot that was the opening of the entire series.
Yeah, it was, which was kind of confusing at first.
Yeah, right.
But so basically, after, you know, discussing with Hopper, like, when can I go see my friends? He's like, it's not safe. You'll see him soon. She's like, soon? When is soon?
Oh, yeah, because she goes
don't lie.
No, remember, because she goes into day 20, soon. Day 214, soon. Day 305, soon. You know what I mean? Yeah. She starts, like, she has her little, like,
spaz
psychic breakdown.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
She totes does. And then she just, you know, he keeps coming home later and later. Because of what's going on in the town with the, you know, the farms and the
yeah, weirdness. I mean, he's literally doing God's work out there, like saving people.
I know.
She doesn't know that, though.
Right.
He's so just, she just wants the egos.
She just leaves. She takes off. She, wow.
What's that? You give up?
I'm trying to remember exactly how she, I believe what happened. Oh, that's what happened.
Yay.
She flipped out on Hopper. She destroys the place.
Right.
She goes into, like, the crawl space and finds the files from the lab from the previous. That's when she finds out who her mother is. And then when she leaves, she goes to visit her mother, and then she finds out that...
So, yeah, let me ask a question then. When... So, she has the ability now to... It's either communicate or, like, semi-communicate or locate or all of the above... If she, like, concentrates, blindfolds herself, and thinks really hard, she can, like, see what people are doing and semi-communicate, but not totally. It was super weird. I'm into it, but it was sort of a, this power's as good as we need it to be whenever we need it to be. You know what I mean? Like, in the beginning, she could see Mike. She could see him, like, talking, because every night Mike would go on his walkie-talkie at 11:15 or whatever the fuck, and be like, L, 11. Are you there? And he would do that, but every once in a while she would basically blindfold herself and go look and watch and, like, try to communicate, but not really. Like, but then she does it again later and she's able to communicate. So it was kind of like it's the power's only as strong as we need it at this episode. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I feel like she communicated with them that way in the first season too, but she did it through the walkie-talkie.
Yeah,
but obviously her powers got stronger and stronger
as
she learned how to develop them, whatever case may be. Anywho, she goes to visit her mother. She talks to her mother, and through her mother, she finds out that there's other people like her that were in this in the lab as well. And then she ends up in Chicago because
and that was the thing. When she saw her mom, she did the little blindfoldy communication device, and she... Her mom basically gave her, like, the memories.
Yes.
That's what it was. That's kind of the weird thing about that one. I was into it. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it's kind of a...
Meh.
Right. So, anywho, third time. She ends up in Chicago. And she finds this group of people because, you know, she, like he said, she can find people now. And she, you know, the two girls kind of remember each other, but not really because this, you know, the one in Chicago is so much older. But she's like, oh, my God, blah, 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 blah. Look at the numbers. And then she's like, yeah, I'm fighting back. You know, I'm finding these people who wronged us when we were in this lab being tested on, like, you know, guinea pigs or whatever. And I'm going and finding them and I'm doing harm and blah, blah, blah. And I'm getting revenge, basically.
Right.
So for a short, hot minute, Elle kind of goths out and hangs out with them, and I mean, honestly, it was probably, I don't want to say the weakest part of the season, but it just it almost seemed like an excuse for her to leave, I guess. I don't know.
I thought it was all right.
It's just it didn't
it was going to a bit of an extreme at first, but not really, because, you know, they kind of don't forget, and Elle reminds you, like, in the last season, like, she straight up killed people with her psychic ability.
Yeah.
Like, broke necks. Like, she don't really give a shit. So,
no, I agree.
They kind of brought that up when she's, like, hanging with this, like, let's just call it the quote-unquote tough crowd. They're, like, talking shit, and she's like, yeah, like, FYI, like, yeah, I have killed some people before. So, like, what have you done yesterday? So, it sort of seemed like it was, like, man, there's no way she'd be into this. Yeah, there kind of is. Because don't forget, she's a fucking killer.
Yeah.
I mean, for real, whatever you want to call her, what you want, when you've killed people and like you're cool, you're a killer.
Driller is killer.
I'm just saying. You know what I mean?
If anyone gets that reference, let me know.
All I'm saying is she was already fairly scary.
Right. So anywho, back to the small town of wherever the fuck that they're at in Indiana. Yeah, I mean, they find this tunnel system. The demi-dogs get released in the regular world while all the while Will is falling more and more under the control of this spider monster thing that is
stands. Shadow monster?
Shadow monster.
I think that's what they were calling
that's
it.
What that's exactly what they were calling it, yeah. So he's more and more under the influence, but you start to find out and you start to pick up pretty quickly that this thing, it doesn't like to be warm. It likes it to be, you know, cool in the house, so... You know, they concoct their little plan to basically perform their version of, I guess, an exorcism on Will to have this monster release itself from Will and try and go down and close up the rift, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It actually very much reminded me of an episode of Doctor Who, for any of you Who fans out there, when Doctor Who went and fought the devil, if anyone remembers that episode. That's actually almost exactly how this season ends, with, you know, her and Hopper going down in the elevator from the lab and fighting this big fucking creature.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go too much more into like revealing every goddamn thing about this season. I do want to touch on some things that kind of are like, you know, and it's not so much, it's, it has nothing to do with the, you know, it's not the fault of the show, but, you know, one of the things everyone loves about this show is, oh my God, this show is so 80s, because people have this weird love with the 80s. Well, the two guys that created it were born in the 90s, so.
Yeah.
Let's first get that straight. Their only memories of the 80s are movies and TV shows, which this show emulates really well. It doesn't really emulate the 80s, it just emulates the things you remember loving right. from the 80s, so. Mm-hmm. It's just another TV show slash movie shot in an 80s style. So don't get all like nostalgic, because that's just how I feel.
I'm into it.
It was a good season. I liked it. I don't like it as I think the first season was better. I'm not saying that this one was terrible. I mean,
no, the first season was better. It felt this like this season is still really good, but I don't think. I think you appreciate the first season and would probably score it higher after seeing this season.
I think, well, like I said, I think...
Because if we gave last season a 9, I kind of think this is a 9, though.
I think
but it's not as good as the first.
I think the whole Chicago thing was sort of haphazard. Not
I kind of like
haphazardly
it.
Thrown in there, but... No, it was
It's
decent.
Bonus points because it's Chicago, so I'll give it
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay, okay. I just... It was... There was just a few things that I feel like they put in there just to fill out the time.
Well, one of the things, too, was the guy on the crew with the 3-foot fucking mohawk, and he's wearing a mask.
Right.
Probably going to catch you later.
Yeah.
Just saying. Yeah. That was like the thing that I, and again, it's nitpicky. I get it. But if you're going to rob the bank, you're probably going to mat that down and then spike it back up later. You know what I mean? Just saying.
I agree.
And
I thought about that, too.
When they did get kind of half busted, like, Mohawk comes out shooting at the cops. It's
right.
Like, hey, guy, first of all, they didn't even say, stop, you're under arrest. Like, you don't even know what the fuck is going on. Like,
not
settle
mention,
your tits.
Someone in your crew can make them not see you.
Also that.
So why would you risk, yeah. But I don't know. There were just some things that I feel like were...
But what they did do in the Chicago thing was they did go after one of those guys from the old... hospital, or even the older hospital
yes.
that was.
Yes,
and that guys. Actually was a decent enough tie-in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like all of that other hubbub that you're hung up on, I also agree to a point, but I think that was the whole point, was that they went out looking for blood and L sort of had a heart at that time, which took that killer that I was talking about before and said, well, you know what? Maybe that ain't what she's all about. Although she was very, very close to snapping that neck. Just saying. So I think...
that was a good tie-in. But, like, you're running a criminal enterprise to get revenge on the people that did you wrong, yet you're just robbing banks too. So, I don't know.
Well, bitches got to eat.
I don't know. I feel like if you can make everyone in your crew not be seen, you can not see yourself into a 7-Eleven and take a fucking sandwich.
I mean, they did do that when they robbed, like, the gas station.
You know what I mean.
Sort of.
You know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I just, I don't know. I feel like some of the stuff, not all of it, but I feel like some of the stuff was filler.
Well, some of the stuff has to keep the story moving. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
I know.
Every great movie has that.
No.
Yes.
No.
There's always going to be some type of something to keep it going. You can nitpick anything to death. True story.
I'll name a movie right now with zero filler.
And it's probably a dumb movie.
The Revenant.
That's a horrible,
because it's all filler.
It's a horrible example.
Yeah, if you don't know, we absolutely hated that. So you should go listen to the podcast where we kind of tear that apart for probably longer than the movies. So bad. Anywho, Stranger Things season 2.
Hated it.
No, not as good as the first season, but definitely still up there. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I finished it in 2 days. So, you know, hey.
I had to take a little break. But, I would have easily. I finished. I watched the, what was it, 9 episodes all day? Or 8?
Nine, I think.
9? I watched 2, and then I watched the last 7 in a day and an hour.
Yeah.
Like, so basically. It goes pretty quick once you're sitting down and getting into it. Next thing you know, it's 4 episodes later. What do you think of?
I'm liking it more and more.
Why? What's up? Who are you thinking of?
I got to find him. Hold on.
Sean asked him?
Of course he's not going to be on this stupid list.
Which guy talked to me, Goose?
The reporter.
Oh, my God. He's the guy from...
Everything.
He's the guy from Love.
Yeah.
The creepy talk show host.
Yup.
Crap. Yeah, I forgot he's in this, because he basically, once you finally figure it out, I'll kind of run him down. He's the reporter, and I believe he was from Chicago. Well, he ended up sending one of the things to the Times. He's the reporter that's in town trying to dig up dirt, and Hopper sort of heads him off early on. The guy goes in there, he's like, hey, Chief, you know, what the F? We got all this, that, and the other thing. And Hopper's like, yeah, you're stupid. Why would it be aliens and a Russian bitch and blah, blah, blah. So the reporter, he's got a lead on a bald-headed child, Russian girl that can do stuff and things. So it's kind of a big deal. And basically, Hopper, like, kicks him out of town. Well, then Nancy and Jonathan kind of go on a little, I'll say Nancy Drew expedition of their own. And in talking to, was it Deb? Who's the girl? Deb? Meg? The girl.
What are you even talking about?
Right the now? Redhead from season 1 that got killed at the pool.
Oh, Peggy.
Peggy? Really? I don't think that's it.
No, I don't know. I was just
anywho, out there. Whichever girl that was, they go to her parents' house for dinner every once in a while. Well, actually, it was Steve and her. Anywho, the point being... they hired this guy to do some investigating work into where their daughter is, because they still think that she's alive. So that is a whole nother kind of story arc that's happening all while everything else is going on. So they have this little Demogorgon getting grown up during the middle, and then they have Nancy investigating and trying to come to terms with withholding all this information from other people, because now she's starting to feel guilty a year later. So there's actually... You know, for as much maybe, I guess, filler that there is, there's a lot of actual storylines going on that all sort of tie in them last 2-3 episodes. So, I'm into it. You still looking for that name?
I'm looking for everybody's stupid names, dude.
You're the worst.
Well, anywho, I really like that reporter guy. And I've liked, you know, he's not like the most well-known actor, but he's, you know, he's more of a comedy actor, but everything I've seen him in, I really like him.
I'll probably find him right now.
But the little, like, adventure that Nancy and Jonathan, or whatever the hell his name is, go on to, you know, talk to that girl's parents and get the recording from the lab and take it to this guy.
His name is Brett Gelman.
You're an asshole.
Just saying.
Where?
I looked up Love.
I tried to. It wouldn't show up on here.
Yeah, well, I'm super awesome.
I don't know about that.
So, continue.
Oh, yeah. He's the guy here with the Mickey Mouse sweater
on. Yeah. Shout out to Brett.
Yeah, so anywho, I forgot all about that guy, but I'm a fan of his. He's a funny guy.
Actually, in the scene where they actually bring the information and they're trying to like decide how they're gonna like blow the whistle is actually really good. Like he's actually. Yeah. That episode, he actually rules that episode for sure, dude. Yeah. He's hilarious. When he's, like, making his drinks, he's like, mm-mm.
Yeah. But that whole...
What are you doing? I'm making a drink.
Yeah, that whole little storyline I forgot about. But, you know, they go on that little expedition to kind of blow the lid off of everything. But they also don't want to get killed and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
And there's a ton of other small things. Because, you know, you talked about Max. And there's a whole huge storyline with her trying to, like... You know, all the boys of the clique are, you know, well, at least Lucas and Dusty are into her. And, you know, Will's obviously spacing out and Mike's like, can't get over L. So they're trying to get her into the group. And then, you know, the two guys don't want her in. The other two guys do. And yada, yada. So there's like, there is a ton of actual things like actually going on.
Right. No, I'm not saying that there wasn't. I'm just saying that, you know, there's a few things that
I... No, I'm just saying we're skipping all kinds of shit because there's too much to talk about, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, we can go on for another hour if we broke down every single episode. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll do that next time. I don't know. But for now, I think we could just number it and move on to our next podcast.
2.5
for Mike. Well, I'll give it a 0.7.
0.7?
Yeah.
2.7?
Nice. No, just a 0.7.
Oh, ill.
No.
What do you have handy what we gave season one?
I do not.
Hmm.
I don't. I wasn't keeping track back then.
I know, and the problem is, I like the other one more, but I'm like at 8.59 for this thing, and I don't know what I rated the first one, and that's why I was saying earlier in this our little discussion here was that it might make me have to go back and re-review season one. Are you going to the website?
I'm on the website.
What do we got? Who wrote that? You? You probably did, Brian. Actually. Really?
Yeah.
Ugh.
He gave it an 8.5.
I'm going to... okay. Really?
Yeah.
And he didn't watch this one?
Not yet.
Super weird.
Yeah, well, we did, so go for it.
You figure he'd be about it.
Okay, I'll go. It's tough because the season one was...
You're taking too long. I'm going to go...
Right. Well, because I want to say I'm going to give it an 8, but I feel like...
I want to say 8.5, but I feel like season one was an 8.5 or a 9.
I'll go 8.25.
Really? I don't like it. I don't like
it. All right, 8.5. I'm going to go 8.5. With all the stuff that I didn't like about it, it was still, I felt it was still.
I'm
going to
go
8.6.
No, I'm going to go 8.5
as
well.
Nope, it's on the books. 8.6.
I'm going to go 8.5 because I'm going to say that I would have probably been closer to a 9 on season one, right?
It's possible.
That's what I think. And I'm sticking with it now.
Okay. So there you go. We're both at an 8.5. Still a really, really good season. If you like the
first one. Like, definitely, if season three is half as good as this one, it's still watchable. Yeah, it'd be better than that.
Half of 8.5.
Yeah.
4.25. Anywho.
Still better than you.
So there you go. Stranger Things season two. I am Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XSourceNX. Mike, you can find at Review and Roast. You can find our Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. Don't forget to press that like button on there.
Do it.
We need some more followers. We only got like 12 or 13,000, so Mike's been slacking. Listen to all of our other shows at comicroast.com and read all of our awesome reviews at reviewandroast.com. Until next time, have a good week.